While we hope this podcast is helpful and empowering, we want to remind you that we're offering only information, not medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare provider regarding any concerns about your health and wellness.
I'm Dan.
I'm Gabby.
And we are
A Couple of Shrinks. We're a married couple practicing as psychotherapists in Southern California.
Each episode, we discuss therapy, mental health, and what it's like to be married to a therapist.
When you're also a therapist.
Thanks for joining us today. Let's get to the episode. Let's get into it, directly into it. Upon this afternoon,
you're giving me a look, a real serious look.
So this week's my turn. Our last episode, we discussed horsemen and communication styles in a couple's relationship or any type of relationship, and I left that conversation feeling really jacked. Well, we talked about something that was immediately applicable to people who even listen to this podcast. Many topics, I believe, we talk about are introductions. And then we encourage people, you know, take this information and talk to a doctor, talk to a therapist about it. And it starts things off. But the information you gave us in the last one, I felt was a lesson in and of itself. Like you could apply that immediately at a dinner table or the next time you have an argument or a date with your romantic partner.
Yeah.
And I really, really like that idea.
Cool.
Of actionable things.
Hardcore.
So with my turn, I wanted to bring up something I've been working really hard on in my work, which is integrating evidence-based and old techniques, just really, really common techniques that are used throughout the industry, and basically applying them to every client and not getting too complicated, but really teaching foundational things to every client before I move on into individualizing their treatment. So the big two things I do with, I would say 90% of my clients, 9 out of 10, is safe place, a basic relaxation exercise. I almost always do that very quickly in sessions. Thought record, which is essential because that's the foundation of almost all the work I do with clients. And in this one, I've been using it very, very regularly recently. It's called the values card sort. CBT technique, but I believe it comes from acceptance and commitment therapy, which is like a new wave kind of CBT offshoot. And it is entertaining. It gives you insight into yourself, a tremendous amount of insight into the people around you. And it's something that can be readily applied to decision-making today. You apply it, you can directly apply it to the time you're spending throughout your day, the decisions you're making, the way you talk to people, the things you focus on both in your brain and your actions. And it puts all those things in a background of values. Like, how does my time, how does my effort, how do my interactions with people compare to what I say is valuable to me? And do those things line up? And it's that idea of congruency, living a life according to things that I say are important to me, or am I living life?
Is congruency a word?
Yeah, isn't it?
I think it's just congruence.
Are you sure? Well, just make it up then.
I don't know. Okay, I don't want to... I get
congruence. You're right. It's not a word. I don't see it here. I'm sticking to it though. I'm gonna say congruency.
Well, it caught me up. I didn't mean that was rude.
When I say smart things,
you say real smart
podcast, and they're incorrect. I need you to just back me up.
You sound great.
I know I sound great, but you need to say, Dan, what you just said was 100% accurate.
Dan, you are accurate.
Everything you said. And everyone should believe
so
you.
So many things
always.
That you said. Because
I would never be egotistical enough to say something, to talk about something that I didn't know anything about.
Dan.
That doesn't sound in character at all.
No.
Before we started this, I emailed you and I asked you to do this values card sort. Will you talk through what I ask you to do?
You sent me an email and said, hey, do this for our podcast that's in 45 minutes.
I did.
And
what did I ask you to do though?
It's really long. There's many. And so I printed out the sheets.
83, right?
And then you said to mark them as very important, somewhat important, or not important.
Okay. So I emailed you a list of values.
Yeah.
A list of 83 values. And I asked you to put them into different categories. So is this value important to me? Very important to me. Not important to me at all.
Very somewhat and not.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you got three categories, and I ask you to divide the 83 up amongst, into, around, inside those categories.
Was I supposed to, I just wrote on the card. Was I supposed to like cut the card or something?
It's okay.
Put them in piles?
Don't trip. We're going to go through it generally, because I want to keep today's punchy. I want to do a quick one
hardcore
that we can apply to our lives. If I would be working in a session with a client, I would stop even now before we keep progressing, and I would say, what was that experience like for you? Okay. Was there any of these values that popped out to you as interesting, either because it wasn't important to you at all and you were surprised by that, or that you're like, oh my gosh, ecology, like caring about the world, like that is the most important value or something.
I think what stood out the most is that I put very on a lot.
Mm.
And I thought, how could that be accurate, that so many things could be very important to me?
Well, let's analyze you for a second, my darling.
Oh.
What do you think that could say about you if you found yourself putting the majority of values in the very important category?
Well, let me think about it. This doesn't make for good podcasting, the long pause. I can appreciate that.
I like it. Get used to silence. I can taste the silence.
What's it taste like?
Wisdom.
Okay, that's good. Okay, what does it say? What does it say about me? That... I don't know myself well.
Maybe. Sure. Why not? I don't have an answer for you. I always ask clients that. It's just an open-ended question.
Oh gosh. You're not going to give me the answer?
For you. I don't have an answer for you.
Dan.
I don't have any advice or answers for you, but.
That's it. That's all you do. Maybe.
Maybe.
And move on.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Sometimes I do. Yeah, sure.
That's funny.
This is your journey, not mine. But even that I think is fascinating. So guys, I'm looking funny at this, and maybe we can attach some information about how you can get a hold of this, but you can use it at the dinner table at a date, either bring it up on your computer, your phone, or print it out and cut these into little cards is a way to do it. Actually with in-person sessions, you have columns of cards that you actually make rows out
of. I thought
that
was so, but I did not have time to cut them.
I know, it's okay. And with telehealth, with therapy, I'll just screen share this and I'll have someone be writing columns in front of them on a notepad. But we've got words like acceptance, accuracy, authority, power, purpose, rationality, responsibility, 83 different values. Okay, so I want you to go ahead and take this. You've got your three columns, let's say metaphorically in your mind.
Uh-huh.
Now you got to pick the 10 most important. If you'd like to, you can think about it, but I think it'd be fun if you wanted to go ahead and shout them out to me and I'll write them down.
Oh gosh. Okay, hang on. 10?
Yes. And the way I would do this in sessions is I would do it usually like this. I'd have the client prep for it by doing the columns before session, and then during session we keep moving forward, and the next step is you got to pick the 10 most important.
Compassion.
Okay.
Dependability. But I can only pick 10. Family. Fitness. How many is that?
4.
Ooh, gosh.
You're almost halfway. Be careful. You sure there's none on that sheet that you want to keep, or that one?
Generosity. God's will. Oh, jeez. Oh, my gosh. Service. How many do I have left?
3 more left. You've done 7.
Tolerance. Uh, health.
Last one.
Genuineness. Genuine.
That's a good word. Okay, so great job. So that's 10 of them. So at this part, I would ask you, compassion, dependability, family, fitness, generosity, God's will, service, tolerance, health, and genuineness.
Genuine.
Were any of those surprising to you? Were any of those things that you don't normally think about stood out to you?
No.
All sounds about right?
Yeah.
Think you know yourself pretty well and your values?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not surprised by those.
Excellent. Okay. So the next stage we would do is, now I need you to pick five.
Okay. Family. Health. God's will. Generosity. Oh my gosh. I only have one more.
That's right.
Oh no, I don't know if I can. One more. Oh. I don't know. Okay. I'm torn between compassion, dependability, and tolerance. Let's go. How do I pick? Can you give me any? You're not going to say anything to help me?
Mm-mm. Is your journey not mine?
Oh, I can see how that would get annoying in a session. Give me an answer, Dan.
What you're doing right now is literally how 100% of the sessions that I've done with values coursework look exactly like this. It's not an easy process.
Dependability.
All right. So give me some feedback. What was that like for you having to chop it in half?
Awful. Hard.
Awful, hard.
But I think I was trying to figure out like which ones could like be an umbrella, you know, for other ones.
Encompass some of the other ones underneath them. Makes sense. So family, health, God's will, generosity, dependability. So we're getting a little more focused here in your life. We've got the top five. Last one, last stage. I need you to pick the top three and I need you to rank order them. Jeez. Number one, first most important value in your life, followed by the second, followed by the third.
What is true or what I want to be true?
First reaction, most important to you.
God's will. Family health.
So you just asked me for that last stage, what was true versus what you wanted to be true. Tell me more about that question. What did you mean by that?
Like my perceived self versus my actual self.
What was
the my desired self.
And in your opinion, what did you just give me? Was that your desired self? Or was that your actual self? So no one can see, but she's closing her eyes, kind of meditating. Even like one hand is doing that like chakra meditation thing a little bit. Okay. And she does not look super happy.
Is this real or desired self? That's a hard question.
Maybe there's no answer. Maybe it's just something to ponder.
Oh, is that a, mm-hmm. Could it be C? There is no answer. Mm-hmm. There is no spoon.
Maybe what we're talking about right now, there is no objective answer to it. We're installing a new thought process into the back of our brains.
Okay.
Like I talked about in the beginning of today's podcast, this is an exercise that's going to bleed into all of our decisions, all of our time, where our money goes, where our effort goes, the way we communicate with people. And there's not going to be an objective answer all the time. It's almost like a canvas, like a painting that has a color in the background, and then you start placing things on top of it. But it's going to be, this is the foundation that's going to be at the core of all of our decision making.
Mm.
It's
So what do I do now?
So what we can do now is we can apply this to different conversations that we have in sessions. Most of the time clients will come into sessions with either problems or celebrations. That's most of the time, that's what it is, an issue that they're having or a celebration. And usually my hope is earlier clients, we focus on the issues. And then some point in the process, we start to transition into positive psychology, where we're talking more about copying and pasting, you know, really positive movement in their life, amplifying, celebrating. So in the beginning with issues, you would come up with an issue with me. Let's say I'm eating, I have a nutrition goal. I know that this,
Do it live. Yeah. Do it to me.
What's an issue you've had recently? What's a hard decision that you've had to make recently?
A hard decision I've had to make recently.
I've got one.
Where to put our kid in school.
Boom. That's exactly what I was saying. 100%. Okay. Huge. And I thought about this when we did that. God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Family and health.
Yeah.
How do those apply to where we put what school we chose for her?
Because we have chosen.
Yes.
So, I mean, you and I, our spirituality is very important to us. So we prayed a lot about it. And we sought wisdom from people who are smarter and more experienced than us.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is, if I were to be, what's the right word? Cocky enough to assume that I can discern God's will for my life. That's how I would do it, through prayer and meditation and seeking wisdom for others.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So you feel that or health, what about that one? Did that one apply to that decision in any way?
Yeah, for me, because for me, health is holistic. So it's not just my physical body, but the mental and spiritual body too.
How does that apply to picking a school for our child?
So picking the right school for our child, that involves like peace, knowing that she's safe, knowing that she's getting the best education we can get her with our resources. And that's going to keep her healthy.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. Makes sense. What comes to mind for me is you mentioned several times during that whole decision making process, something that I do not think of naturally. You talked about recess time regularly.
Oh, at school. Yes. Yeah. I wanted her to have lots of recess because she's only in kindergarten.
That makes me think of health.
Yeah.
That's totally what I think of. That might not have, the word health might not have been in your brain, but that's me celebrating the fact that you were, in my opinion, acting according to your values, even in that, even if it was subconscious for you. And so, but did you notice for me, what did I really care about?
Money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I did. No, I did focus a little bit more on the price of the school. Absolutely. I was thinking more of Spanish.
The Spanish. Yeah.
The Spanish was something I was really
spiritual part of it.
Yeah. The spiritual part of it. But we were both, I think, on the same page there, but, and not that you didn't want Spanish and not that I didn't want her to have, a young child's amount of recess, like a lot of time outside, but our focuses were different.
Yeah. What value is that for you? The Spanish part?
Probably wisdom or intelligence, education. I think all three of those are on there probably in one way or another.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Which is a huge thing with mine. Yeah. Being well-traveled, something like that, right? That is something that was a focus of us, and we could get super nerdy and analyze our childhood, you know, and kind of see where your health focus comes from maybe, and where my, whatever it is, education or language focus comes from. The whole part of this is not just the fact that it applied to our decision-making, but it's also fun. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Because it gives you insight. Like the look on your face, you were having a whole like computer processing thing in your brain.
That's cool.
Like, what are my values? Like what is it that I'm living my life according to? And what is it that I want to live my life according to? Which is congruence, not congruency, because that's not a word.
Look at you with Rogers, man.
It's congruence.
You always poo-poo my person-centered Rogers, but he's the congruence guy.
Yeah.
Perceived self, real self, desired self. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
I like this, though.
It's cool,
right? Wait, so help me. So with the family part, because that's I ranked that second. So when we chose a school for our kid, how could that have family been like, how does that apply to my, will you help me understand?
How would family have applied to the school we went to? So for me, I noticed that they talked a lot about, like family coming to Christmas kids, plays and stuff like that that the kids were putting on.
Community involvement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for me, family might not be as high on the list as it was for you, but for you, I did notice you talking to your parents a lot about it and really excited and stoked that, you know, we get the chance to, it's not going to be a public school where they're probably going to incorporate a lot more family into it than otherwise might be where your parents might, you know, cause they're here, you know, pretty local to us. They're actually going to be able to show up and family's going to be integrated with their education on a higher level. To me, that seems like it could have been a push in your values that made that decision.
I see.
Cause the fact is the school she's at right now, not a lot of family interaction.
Not a lot, man.
And we were kind of, you know, a lot of these schools we've been looking at, the parents have to do a certain amount of volunteering hours. And we're like, at first we were like, that's whack. Like, why?
How do we have
we're
jobs?
We're paying so much money. Why would I want to volunteer to do crossing guard or something? But now.
School board, bro. I want to be on that school board.
Yeah, PTA or something. But now, I think, maybe for you, there might be a different energy about, you know, having to volunteer. You might be like, you know, maybe doing a music class with the kids or, you know,
lunch monitor,
like maybe, run the library or something for a few hours. Because it's no longer a task for you. It's a values exercise.
Wow. Yeah. Cause when I think family in that context, yeah, I think of like other families too. And like building a community of chosen family, like-minded people.
Sure. Okay.
And that's what I was thinking a lot about when we were choosing our school. Like, can we find different people, different backgrounds, different styles, but like-minded enough that we can get along and like choose people to really be active in our life and in our kids' life.
Yeah.
Bray was very angry at the other side of the door.
I understand. Yeah, I saw you lock the handle. Does he know how to use handles? Is he like a raptor?
It's a habit. I lock the door because it's set. Because you've walked in on me only twice, right?
When I was doing session.
And then the kid is around sometimes, so I always lock the door if she's in the house. This was cool.
So this is values exercise. And this is one that, you know, it was suggested, you know, where I learned this, the doctor who suggested that I use this thing, he said he uses it with basically 100% of his clients.
That's
it's like
so
a foundational
cool.
exercise. And I think especially the long-term clients, it makes a lot of sense.
I like this. I'm going to put it on a little sticky note above my computer.
Yeah, with your values.
My values. I like it.
I like it
it's
too.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
I want to know what yours are. Can we talk about it later?
We can.
Cool. Yeah.
But see, that's the whole purpose of this. Like maybe you do this in a couple session, because I have done this. I did this last week or the week before in a couple session.
Yeah.
And the cool part isn't really what you do in session, but now it's like, oh, tonight.
What happened?
Yeah. We turn off the TV or whatever, and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Or when we have to make that decision together, we get to compare our values and maybe it'll be a gut check because they won't be aligned at all.
Totally.
And maybe, maybe it'll be a huge celebration. You'll find out that you, but you and I think we're similar in some ways and we're really dissimilar
in
other ways.
I know as I was going through that, like adventure for me is pretty low.
That is
and
very
yours is
high,
really
very,
high.
Very, very high on
I like
list.
Stability and safety and you need change and action and adventure and
Let
but we complement
each
Okay. Yeah. Sure. We complement each other really well, you know? Mm-hmm. We bring each other back to center.
I agree. All right. Well, good. 20-minute podcast. I like that little punch here this time, something we can apply. I hope, listeners, you can apply this in your own life. And acceptance and commitment. Let's use some values. Let's do let's live a life in congruence.
Incongruence.
With our values.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You're very expressive with your hands at the end of our conversation today. Yep.
Whooshy.
Yeah. Okay.
Signing out.
Those are like, you're almost doing stroke hands a little bit. Like, don't do that.
My name is Dan.
Gabby.
We are
a couple of
strings.
Jersey.